Intro who is speaking and why. This is a narrated summary of the documentary record in the matter of Gassio versus Tran and others, Orange County Superior Court case number 302024-01410991. The speaker is Michael Gassio. Michael Gassio is not an attorney. Michael Gassio is a retired California public school administrator, a former middle school vice principal, a former juvenile corrections worker, and before that, a 16-year veteran of automotive finance. He spent 30 years in the service of the California public school system before retiring in October of 2019. This record is prepared for review by qualified counsel and by appropriate regulatory and prosecutorial authorities. It is not a civil complaint. It is not a demand for reimbursement. The plaintiffs are not seeking money, and the plaintiffs have never at any point requested money from the defendants through this documentation. The plaintiffs are asking qualified investigators and prosecutors to review the documentary record and to determine whether California and federal law have been complied with by the licensed professionals whose conduct is described. That framing is unusual enough that it deserves to be stated plainly. Michael Gassio spent a career protecting other people's children inside the California public school system. Before that, he spent years in juvenile corrections watching young people cycle through a justice system that rarely served them well. He has spent this portion of his retirement doing for the state of California what he spent his working life doing for the state of California, preserving, organizing, and submitting documentary evidence of conduct that appears to violate public law, so that those with the authority to act on it can decide whether to act. The matter concerns conduct surrounding a residential tenancy at 19,235 Bryn Court in Huntington Beach, California, between May of 2022 and August of 2024. The tenants vacated the property voluntarily on August 5th, 2024, with rent current through the last day of occupancy. No sheriff lockout was executed. No writ of possession was enforced against the tenants. Rent was paid in full through the last day of tenancy by electronic wire transfer. This narration proceeds in three parts. First, a short introduction to the property and the named parties. Second, the documentary record walked through in the order the events occurred. Third, the federal statutory framework that the record raises and the closing question the record places before the listener. The property and the parties. The subject property is a single-family residence at 19,235 Bryn Court, Huntington Beach, California. The owner is Fat L.K. Tran, a licensed California dentist whose practice is OC Dental Implant Center at 140411 Brookhurst Street in Garden Grove. Dr. Tran owns multiple Orange County properties, including his personal residence at 2010 Sand Dune Lane in Huntington Beach. Estimated value approximately $3.8 million. Public recorder records show more than 300 entries tied to Dr. Tran and entities associated with him. The 2022 listing agent of record was Anna Lai, a California Department of Real Estate licensee, salesperson license number 0018943 48. Anna Lai is the daughter of Dr. Fat Tran. She operated under the name Sun Realty and Management. MS Lai also serves as the chief executive officer of AP Silk Arts Incorporated, a corporation for which her father is the registered agent. The 2024 property manager was Hanson Lee, a California Department of Real Estate Broker Associate, license number 01358448. Mr. Lee presented himself as affiliated with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services California Properties, the operating name of Springdale Marina Incorporated, Department of Real Estate Corporate License Number 01208606. The designated officer of that entity was and is Dennis Allen Rosas. Counsel of record for the plaintiff landlord in the unlawful detainer action was Stephen D. Silverstein, California Bar, number 86466, admitted to practice in 1979. Mr. Silverstein practices from an office in Tustin and publicly describes his firm as specializing in eviction. The tenant plaintiffs are Michael Gassio, retired educator, and Yulia Gassio, California State University Long Beach Professor of Art. They shared the home during the relevant period with Yulia's mother, Tatiana, an elderly Ukrainian woman who had survived war and displacement in her own lifetime and who slept on the floor the first night of the tenancy rather than disturb the household. B.E. first day, and the pattern that began there. The plaintiffs moved into the property on May 1st, 2022. All rent and deposits were paid in full the first night. The listing had promised an ocean view, an in-unit washer and dryer, and all appliances included. None of those amenities existed. There was no ocean view. There was no washer or dryer anywhere on the premises. And on the first day of occupancy, a photograph taken at 11:39 in the morning documented established black mold colonies under the kitchen sink, consistent with months or years of moisture accumulation from an unpermitted drain modification completed approximately a decade earlier. That mold was photographed, preserved, and never remediated. When the plaintiffs raised the missing washer and dryer with the listing agent, her response was, and this is the verbatim text, move out by noon. That exchange set the tone for 3 years of tenancy. Within weeks, the property owner called the plaintiff by telephone and changed the payment terms. He demanded that rent be paid into his personal Wells Fargo bank account, not by check as the lease stated. And he demanded it by the 20th of the preceding month rather than the 1st on the stated reason that he had a personal bill due on the 20th and did not wish to wait. The plaintiff objected in writing on March 29th, 2023, stating, you cannot change contract on your own. The owner ignored the objection and continued demanding early payment under threat of a $500 late fee and credit damage. The plaintiffs complied under duress. California Civil Code Section 1870, Subsection 5, prohibits enforcement of unconscionable contract modifications. California Civil Code Section 827 requires written notice for any change in tenancy terms. Neither was provided. See 26 electronic wires and one paper check. Over the 26-month tenancy, the plaintiffs made approximately 26 consecutive rent payments. Wells Fargo wire transfer records covering the tenancy show that every one of those payments moved electronically by wire transfer with the beneficiary designation in Dr. Fat Tran's personal name. The destination was not a designated California real estate broker trust account. The destination was not the payment address specified in the executed lease of record. It was an account in the owner's personal name, held at Wells Fargo Bank, and the transfer was confirmed on each occasion by a wire reference number preserved in the plaintiff's bank records. There was a single exception across the tenancy. One payment, made in May of 2024, was tendered not by wire transfer, but by United States Postal Service certified mail, in the form of a cashier's check payable to Berkshire Hathaway Home Services California Properties. That one exception is the payment that did not reach the owner's account. That one exception is also the payment that would anchor a federal mail fraud inquiry. D. Spring of 2024 and the new payment channel. In the spring of 2024, the plaintiffs communicated their intent to vacate at the end of April. On April 2, 2024, the owner wrote to them by text message, please do not think we're looking new lessee. That sentence is in the record. 24 days later, the plaintiff signed a new 13-month lease at a rate of $5,350 per month, up from $5,000, and they continued the tenancy. 3 years before that new lease was executed, a new person was introduced into the transaction. On April 5th, a text message arrived from a Hanson Lee stating, hi, Michael. I am Hanson, a new property manager for Fat Tran. Good to connect with you. The next day, April 6th, Mr. Lay sent a second message to the plaintiff stating that he was, in his own words, currently traveling in Europe and will be back in California on April 15th. That text message is preserved. It is a written representation by a California licensee regarding his own physical location during a period that overlapped with the execution of a California residential lease on a California licensee basis. Whether Mr. Lee was actually in Europe during that window is a question resolvable in the ordinary course of discovery through United States Customs and Border Protection records, airline manifests, mobile carrier cell site data, and credit card geolocation. On April 26, 2024, the new lease was executed through the Authentisyn electronic signature platform operated by Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. The envelope bore full Berkshire Hathaway corporate branding. It was transmitted from a Berkshire Hathaway corporate email address on Berkshire Hathaway's licensed platform. All four parties signed. Mr. Lee completed his signature at 5:36 in the afternoon, Pacific Daylight Time, on April 28th. Inside the executed lease, a payment clause directed monthly rent payments to a Wells Fargo account held in Hanson Lee's personal name. The clause bore the owner's initials. California Business and Professions Code Section 10145 requires that all trust funds received by a real estate licensee be deposited into the broker's designated trust account, not in a licensee's personal bank account. 10 California Code of Regulations Section 2832 states the same requirement. The clause on the face of the executed instrument directs rent into a private account outside any broker trust account, outside any BHHS ledger, outside any escrow oversight. When the plaintiff later contacted the designated officer of Berkshire Hathaway's California entity, Dennis Allen Rosas, and raised the question of Mr. Lee's private account routing, the verbatim response was, call Hanson, he is moonlighting. They all do it. No corrective action was taken by the broker of record. ETHA payments, the court said, did not exist. On April 19, 2024, the plaintiff wired $5,000 to start the third year of tenancy. The Wells Fargo wire confirmation is preserved in the case file. The memo line on that wire reads, verbatim, new lease 24, one payment at $5,000. That payment would later be denied, under oath, in open court. On May 13, 2024, an event occurred in the California Department of Real Estate's public licensee record, Hanson Lee's personal broker associate license detached from Springdale Marina Incorporated. From that moment forward, Mr. Lee no longer had corporate brokerage authority tied to the authenticating contract the plaintiff had signed, because the contract named Springdale Marina Incorporated as brokerage of record. Mr. Lee did not leave the real estate industry. He migrated his personal license to another corporate broker supervised by the same designated officer, Dennis Allen Rosas. 15 days later, on May 28th, the plaintiff tendered the month's rent, net of a documented repair and deduct adjustment for a replacement dishwasher, by cashier's check sent United States Postal Service certified mail to the Berkshire Hathaway Home Services office at 5848 Edinger Avenue, Huntington Beach. The tracking number is preserved in the case file. The check was payable to BHHS. The USPS signature on delivery, 2 days later, was the letter H, followed by a period. The check was never deposited. The check was never returned. The check sits sealed in the plaintiff's custody to this day, preserved for latent fingerprint analysis should a criminal case be opened. 3 days after the check was delivered, the property owner texted the plaintiff, "Sorry, I did not know you paid your rent to the Hansen account. I just texted him to find out." 2 days after that, a second message arrived from the same owner. "Hansen has the check." Both messages were preserved, and the second was admitted into evidence at trial on February 6, 2025. On June 1, 2024, 19 days after the license detachment and 2 days after the check was delivered, a new business entity called Hansen & Tony LLC was filed with the California Secretary of State. The chief executive officer of record on that filing is Hansen Lee. When the Huntington Beach Police Department asked Mr. Lee about the whereabouts of the cashier's check, Mr. Lee invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, FAT 3-day notice, and the $10,700 extraction. On June 21, 2024, a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit was served on the plaintiffs. It bore the typed name Fat L.K. Tran. It contained no handwritten signature, no electronic signature notation, and no attorney signature block. It was taped to the door in a single envelope addressed only to one of three tenants, one of whom was out of the country at the time. The other missing on the notice was Yulia Mother, who was on the contract signed only a month before eviction as a resident and non-English speaker. It demanded a second June payment to a Wells Fargo account number that was not the payment account specified in the executed lease after the contracted agent had received the funds the month earlier on May 30th for June at Berkshire Hathaway, California Homes. California Code of Civil Procedure Section 1161 and 1162 require specific form and service for a lawful 3-day notice. The June 21st notice, on its face, failed to satisfy those requirements. That same evening, the plaintiff received a telephone call from the property owner. The verbatim demand was, "Put the money in my bank account like you always have, or I'll kick you out." The plaintiff offered three lawful alternatives to resolve the missing May cashier's check. Each was refused. Under threat of loss of home, the plaintiff paid again into a personal account outside the contract without credit to the rent ledger for June. The mechanism by which the second payment was extracted is the single most important fact in this case file for the attorney of record. In order to extract payment after it had already been tendered, counsel of record personally signed an instrument requiring the plaintiff to remit a second rent payment of $10,700 from personal savings into the client's personal checking account. The instrument required counsel and client to co-sign acknowledging that the tenant disputed the propriety of the second payment and that no prior repayment had been made. Counsel's own signature on that instrument is, on its face, a written acknowledgement that at the moment of signing, counsel knew the tenant disputed the predicate debt. California Penal Code Section 484 and 487, when read together, define grand theft by false pretenses. $10,700 exceeds the felony threshold under Section 487 by more than 11 times. California Penal Code Section 518 defines extortion as the obtaining of property through wrongful use of fear. California Business and Professions Code Section 6128 defines attorney deceit. The signed instrument engages each of those provisions on its own face, independent of any courtroom testimony. G11 days before trial. The trial was set for January 2007, 2025. On January 16, 2025, at 1:40 in the afternoon, Michael Gassio transmitted a single email through Yahoo Mail. The email was addressed to seven named recipients. It went to Dr. Fat Tran. It went to two third-party witnesses. It went to Yulia Gassio as co-complainant. It went to Hansen Lee at the Berkshire Hathaway address. It went to Anna Lai at Sun Realty. And it went to Stephen D. Silverstein, Esquire, at his practice email address. That email, 11 days before trial, named the scheme. It named the cashier's check. It named the Hansen Lee account routing. It named the double payment extracted under protest. It named the 26-plus prior payments. It named Anna Lai's role in the 2022 lease formation. It warned every recipient in a single explicit sentence, "Do not perjure yourself regarding what you have done with those two real estate agents." And it stated what the plaintiff was asking, resolution outside court or prosecution. No recipient corrected a single fact. No recipient sent a rebuttal. No mail was returned. Every recipient continued their role in the scheduled proceeding. Federal conspiracy under Title 18, United States Code, Section 371 requires, first, an agreement between two or more persons, second, to commit a federal offense, third, at least one overt act in furtherance. The documentary significance of the January 16th letter is this. Every participant in the subsequent proceeding received, on a single common date, written notice of the scheme, the evidence, and the warning. Every act that followed was an act taken with that notice in hand. Under the United States Supreme Court's holding in Global Tech Appliances versus SEB, a defendant who subjectively believes there is a high probability that a fact exists and who takes deliberate actions to avoid learning of that fact is treated, for federal criminal purposes, as having actual knowledge. The January 16th letter forecloses that avoidance defense. HD attorney who withdrew 3 days before trial. The plaintiff had retained defense counsel. In June of 2024, Richard Joseph Rosiak, Esquire, California Bar Number 141430, accepted an $8,000 retainer to represent the plaintiff at trial. The retainer was paid in full at engagement. On July 18, 2024, the plaintiff transmitted a written email to Mr. Rosiak at 5:27 in the afternoon with a named professional third-party witness copied. That email formally transferred communication authority over the matter to Yulia Gassio, identifying the plaintiff's cardiac condition, naming the treating facility, and identifying the medication by adverse effect. The email is preserved. No substantive filing by Mr. Rosiak appears on the court docket in the months that followed. No discovery was propounded. No motion was filed. The 2022 lease's three signatory structure was not placed before the court. The certified mail receipt for the May tender was not presented. The electronic payment ledger was not introduced. On Friday, January 10, 2025, a withdrawal letter from Mr. Rosiak arrived in the plaintiff's mailbox. The set trial date was the following Monday, January 13th. 3 calendar days with a weekend intervening. The plaintiff, 72 years old and on a continuous cardiac monitor, appeared in court without counsel. The matter remained in proceedings through April of that year. From January through April, the plaintiff represented himself. The California State Bar Enforcement Division has opened a formal review of this representation. Examiner Devin Urbany has been assigned. No finding has been made on the record at this time. IFE trial and the three-witness contradiction. At trial on January 27, 2025, the owner testified under oath that rent for the disputed month had not been received. The closing argument by counsel of record described the cashier's check as having been returned by mail. The record-based rebuttal of that testimony, before that testimony was given, rested on 3 independent record systems, none of them controlled by the plaintiff. First, the United States Postal Service certified mail tracking record. The USPS database shows the envelope postmarked and in transit. No return to sender scan appears in the database at any point ever. USPS business records are admissible under Federal Rule of Evidence 803 and California Evidence Code Section 1271. They establish on their face that no return event occurred. Second, Wells Fargo banking records, which establish on the face of the records how the funds moved and where they arrived. Third, a text message from the property owner to the plaintiff, introduced into evidence and admitted at trial on February 6, 2025, in which the owner states, in his own words, Hansen has the check. That is a principal's admission against interest that the check was received and directed to the agent. In open court, when shown the Hansen has the check text, the judge asked the owner directly, "Did you write this?" The owner answered, "Under oath, yes." In the same proceeding, the same witness also testified, under oath, that no rent payment had been received. Both statements appear in the transcript. Both cannot be true. California Penal Code Section 118 defines perjury as a willful false statement under oath on a material matter. The transcript of the January 20 to 7th proceeding resolves the question of whether that element is present. After the eviction, the Airbnb, the invoice, and the bunk bed. The plaintiffs vacated the property voluntarily on August 5, 2024. Within weeks, the property appeared on Airbnb under the host name Vui, a 7-year host managing multiple Huntington Beach short-term rentals, at a monthly rate of $7,786. That is a 55% increase over the rate the plaintiffs had been paying on a property they had vacated with no damage, no unpaid rent, and no sheriff action. The interior photographs on the Airbnb listing show vinyl plank flooring throughout, new baseboards, and a renovated kitchen aesthetic. The property had been converted for short-term rental use. Separately, on August 22, 2024, Anna Lee transmitted a move-out clearance report to the plaintiff from the email server of Fatran DMD Incorporated, her father's dental practice in Garden Grove. That date is 520 to 5 days after she had stated in writing that she no longer worked for her father. The report claimed $20,980 in damages. The largest line item was $7,835 for carpet replacement, with the stated justification, replace carpet due to dog pee bad smell. The animals on the premises had been permitted in writing by 2 successive signed pet addenda on 2 successive leases, including 1 signed by the owner himself. The Airbnb photographs show no carpet anywhere in the home. The property is finished in vinyl plank flooring. The arithmetic is independent of any dispute about the animals. market rate for the carpet specified on the lie construction invoice at Home Depot at the time of the invoice was approximately 88 cents per square foot. For the approximately 950 square foot area in question, the market cost of replacement would have been approximately $836. The invoice charged $7,835. The markup is greater than 900%. No carpet was replaced. Finally, during the active tenancy, in June of 2024, a person associated with the owner removed the plaintiff's bunk bed frame from the property. The frame was never placed in storage. The frame was never returned. California Penal Code Section 487 defines grand theft at a property value threshold that the bunk bed exceeded, k.e. federal statutory framework. The documentary record engages a set of federal criminal statutes that deserve to be stated plainly at the close of this brief, because those statutes are the frame through which a federal prosecutor would ordinarily evaluate what the record shows. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1343, Wire Fraud. Every interstate electronic transmission in furtherance of a scheme to defraud is a separately countable offense. The statutory maximum is 20 years per count, or 30 years per count, where a financial institution is affected. The statute of limitations is 5 years, extended to 10 years where a financial institution nexus is present. The Authenticine lease execution on April 26, 2024, transmitted through interstate servers on the Berkshire Hathaway corporate platform, with a payment clause routing client funds into a non-trust account, is a wire transmission. Each subsequent wire transmission in support of the same scheme is a separately countable anchor. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1341, Mail Fraud. Each United States Postal Service transmission in furtherance of a scheme to defraud is a separately countable offense. The May 28th certified mail cashier's check delivered to the broker of record, signed for, not credited, not returned, is a mail fraud anchor on the face of the record. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1344, Bank Fraud. Holding an electronic deposit past the 3 business day banking rule and then claiming that the instrument was returned by untracked ordinary mail while the electronic funds remained in the account is a banking event that Section 1344 is designed to reach. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1349, Conspiracy to Commit Wire or Mail Fraud. The January 16th letter, transmitted to 7 named recipients, including 2 attorneys of record, 11 days before the trial at which every named recipient continued their role, supplies the common notice anchor from which a conspiracy charge ordinarily proceeds. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1962, Subsection C, the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. The record reflects 2 documented unlawful detainer cycles involving the same Huntington Beach property corridor, represented by the same Council of Record, within a 6-year period. Council of Record, for the owner in this matter, Stephen D. Silverstein, also represented the owner's daughter in a 2018 residential unlawful detainer action in the same court. The predicate act requirement under Section 1961, Subsection 5, is satisfied by 2 predicate acts within a 10-year window. Title 18, United States Code, Section 1964, Subsection C, the Civil RICO Remedy, which provides for treble damages and attorney fees for prevailing plaintiffs. That remedy is available to qualified counsel. It is noted here only to complete the statutory landscape and is not itself the purpose of this narration. California Penal Code, Section 118, Perjury. The transcript of the January 20 to 7th trial, together with the Hansen, has the check text admitted in the same proceeding, resolves the element of willful falsity on a material matter. California Penal Code, Section 127, Subornation of Perjury. This is the statute under which an attorney who procures perjured testimony with knowledge of its falsity may be prosecuted. The knowledge element is supplied by the documented pretrial notice pattern, which this brief has already summarized. California Business and Professions Code, Section 10145, the Broker Trust Account Requirement. The initial payment clause directing rent to a personal account on the face of the executed lease is a documentary anchor for this provision. California Penal Code, Section 518, Extortion. The $10,700 under-protest extraction on an instrument personally signed by Council of Record is a documentary anchor for this provision. California Welfare and Institutions Code, Section 156-1030, Elder Financial Abuse. The plaintiff is over 65. The cardiac condition and its documentation predate the conduct at issue. The statute applies. Each of these statutes, standing alone, is a frame within which documentary evidence already in the record could be evaluated. Taken together, they describe the federal and state picture that a competent prosecutor would see on first reading. Close what the record asks. This is not a civil complaint. This is a preserved documentary record prepared for review by qualified counsel and by appropriate regulatory and prosecutorial authorities. The plaintiffs are not seeking reimbursement. The plaintiffs are not asking the defendants for money. The plaintiffs have spent 15 months organizing, submitting, and preserving evidence, and have made that evidence available to the Federal Bureau of Investigation Los Angeles Field Office, the United States Postal Inspection Service, the California Department of Real Estate, the California State Bar Enforcement Division, the Orange County District Attorney's Real Estate Fraud Unit, the Federal Trade Commission, the Huntington Beach Police Department, and the California Department of Insurance. The record did not weaken over those 15 months. It compounded. The cashier's check sits sealed, preserved for latent fingerprint analysis should a criminal case be opened. The USPS tracking record sits on federal servers. The Wells Fargo wire ledger sits on the bank servers. The Authenticin audit trail sits on the Berkshire Hathaway platform. The Yahoo mail transmission headers for the January 16th letter sit on Yahoo servers. Each of those record systems is reachable by subpoena. What this record asks of the listener is a decision, not a conclusion. The narrator does not ask the listener to agree with any characterization. The narrator asks only that the listener read the primary documents in the order they occurred and decide whether the conduct described warrants the attention of the authorities to whom the plaintiffs have submitted the materials. The narrator is a retired California public school administrator. The narrator is 72 years old. The narrator spent his career protecting other people's children inside the California public school system. And before that, protecting the finances of other people's families inside the California automotive industry. And before that, working with young people caught in the California juvenile justice system. The narrator has, in this matter, applied those same disciplines to a documentary record for the benefit of the state of California and its people. The record is complete. The record is permanent. The record is on the table. Scope and methodology. This narration summarizes only what appears in primary documents preserved in the case file and indexed at gasiomirror.com, section 10. No statement in this narration characterizes any individual as having committed a crime. Criminal liability is determined by qualified prosecutors and courts, not by the plaintiffs, by this site, or by this narration. Statutory citations identify legal frameworks within which the documented facts may be analyzed by qualified investigators. Counts, where named, are framed as discrete units for prosecutorial and disciplinary review, and are subject to amendment upon receipt of additional information. The plaintiffs make no assertion of legal conclusion. The California State Bar proceeding concerning former defense counsel Richard Joseph Rosiak is under formal review by examiner Devin Urbany of the Enforcement Division. No finding of attorney misconduct has been made on that record at this time. That language appears consistently throughout the portal,